I'm Sylvia. Welcome to Great People TV. You're joining me and Ben Ibrahim, my wonderful co-host. And we're talking to one of the top novelists in Singapore, Danielle Lim, today. But before we have her come on, I'd like to encourage you to follow our social media on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. And it's going to be an epic show because we're going to explore the world of a writer. So Danielle Lim, welcome.
Hello. Hi.
Yeah. So I want to do a quick intro. You are an award-winning author of three books. And we want to explore today how you are able to weave and create amazing worlds and tell our collective stories, even those issues that are often taboo, like mental health. And so many of your books have tackled these kind of subjects. But first of all, Danielle, please share with us what inspires you as a writer.
Thank you, Sylvia. And thank you, Ben. It's lovely to be on the show. My writing is inspired by very ordinary people and ordinary things. I think human struggle, it lies at the heart of my writing. It lies at the heart of life. And so a lot of my writing is actually a search to kind of deal with human struggle, human pain, to push towards hope, redemption, towards beauty. So, I have come to realize that we need a lot of courage, whether it's mental health, whether it's what you're doing, Sylvia, in terms of human slavery. I think it boils down to courage and hard work. And so my writing kind of tries to weave in the themes. So you mentioned, right, like my first book is on mental health. So my first book, The Sound of SCH, it's a memoir about my uncle and my mother. And my uncle had schizophrenia, and he suffered for 30 years, 30 long years. Wow. And my mother was his main caregiver, so she took care of him for 30 years. I was very young at the time, you know, and I never understood when I was a child what was going on. And of course, as I grew older and I look back, I realized how difficult it was. Even at the time when I was growing up, I would always wonder, you know, why is my uncle suffering? What's the meaning of his life, you know, 30 years going on in this manner? Mm-hmm. After that, my other books, my second book, Trafalgar Sunrise, was to pay tribute to healthcare workers. And I think through COVID, we have realized, you know, how much sacrifice, how much courage our healthcare workers, our nurses, and even the cleaners, how much they go through.
Yes. So before we go on to the healthcare issue, I want to rewind back to the mental health. They say that writers should stick to and write what they know. And so you grew up observing your mother struggling as a caregiver to your uncle. So what was that moment like when you knew that this is something that you had to pen on paper? Something that was, you know, I'm sure you weren't able to talk about it very much when you were growing up. Mental health, as everyone knows, is stigmatized in Asia. And more resources are needed desperately. So what was that moment like? And was there an aspect of an activist in you where you wanted to write and raise awareness? Or was it just more like you need to do this cathartic process and get your story down?
I think it's a bit of everything. Of course, when I was young, it was very frustrating. I wrote songs expressing my kind of, you know, why is this going on? And then life went on. I had to work. I had married, had kids. And it's only in midlife, in my 30s, when I was at Crossroads that I felt I wanted to, you know, you question what where you are heading in life, right? Mm-hmm. And I felt that was a story that needed to be told for perhaps both myself and for others, because I realized that mental health issues are actually very common, but people just didn't want to talk about them. I think COVID has kind of brought a lot of discussion out to the open, but still there's very little awareness of what needs to be done, what should be done. And there's no easy solution, I think. You know, people like to think that, oh, maybe we can just put more counselors in schools, or you just pop some antidepressant pills and problem solved. But it's not so easy.
Absolutely. And did you see, hear feedback, people telling you how your book really help shine a spotlight and help release something within them? I mean, did you hear, what was the feedback like? I know the accolades keep piling up in your writing career, but what was the reaction to this book about your uncle?
You know, when the book, when I first wrote the book, actually nobody wanted to publish it. It was very, very difficult.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, because... you know, they'll say, yeah, it's a good story, but, you know, maybe people wouldn't want to read and want to buy this book. So the book went through a lot of rejection, a lot of failure. And of course, finally, it got published and it won an award. After that, people around me, a lot of people did say, right, that, they shared their father had mental health issues, their brother had mental health issues. And, you know, these are people around me, colleagues, friends. We never knew that they were struggling with these issues. So I think there's a lot of hidden suffering. Mm-hmm. And so my third book, my collection of short stories, this one, which is also by Penguin, right? And Softly Go, The Crossings. I wrote this book. It has a lot to do with what I feel about mental health as well, because very often I think we deal with the problem much too late. You know, when the problem has already kind of exploded in our faces, and it's very difficult to kind of, it's possible, but it's very, very difficult. So what I've been trying to do in the short stories is to try to raise awareness, to be more aware of how easily these changes take place in our psyche, how easily things can go wrong, and how we have to pay more attention to our own inner life, to our own mental health, to our own healing. You know, we have to start with our own healing.
Yeah, and it's so hard to do. It's so hard to do in our busy society. So was it cathartic for you when you were penning these stories, getting this all down, and in your last book, Softly, what was that like? Can you describe just a little bit of what impact it had on you? And and congrats for pushing through with your first book after all the rejections. It reminds me of the author of Harry Potter, J.K. Rowling, who was rejected like dozens of times, and her book needed to be out there. How was it impacting you?
I think not so much cathartic, but it's I think my writing and my life kind of, it was a growth process in both cases. I learned a lot of things from just observing people, observing relationships, observing my own relationships. As I became a mother, I realized how difficult it is to be a parent and how much hard work it takes to be a parent. And I learned from it. So what I learned, perhaps my writing is, and you know, is how I try to share some of the things which I learned. And so it's kind of, it's not cathartic in that sense, I suppose. Yeah, it's just, I feel that we can actually, so for example, when it comes to mental illness, right, it's well known that it's partly genetic, it's partly environmental. So we can't change genes, but we can change our environment. We can try to change it to make it better for our families, for our colleagues, for our friends. And I suppose we are fortunate enough to be able to do some things to change our environment. And I know, Sylvia, your work, you mentioned some of these girls and women, you know, who were trafficked. They are so helpless. When I read their stories, it was so sad sometimes that they are in that kind of situation, and it's so difficult for them to get out. But I think a lot of the traffickers, they probably have their own issues, which from childhood.
Yes. So Danielle, what I was struck by was that you were able to write so beautifully about dark topics. I mean, you're such a beautiful writer. And so I just have to ask the question that perhaps many other people are wondering. I mean, how do you write so beautifully? And is it because you've processed all that pain and you've woven it and it comes through? I mean, what makes a writer more beautiful and more poetic than another, right? So what's your secret sauce?
Hold on 1 second, ladies. Before we get to the secret sauce, I have to interrupt because we do have a question here from the comments field. Could you explain, Danielle, what does cathartic mean? I mean, I know what it means, but the viewers, we speak, some of our viewers speak very simple Manglish, as we would know. So could you just explain that in the most simplest terms?
Sure. I think cathartic means that it's a kind of release, maybe emotional healing, where it could be writing, it could be drawing, where something helps you to release inner pain, to come to terms with it and make peace with it. Is that right, Sylvia? I think that
exactly.
No, well explained.
It wasn't a cathartic result for you, is what you were saying before.
Nice.
I think, thank you, Sylvia, for the question. I think for me, it's my own search. So my writing, I was saying, kind of goes hand in hand with my own life. And the dark topics, I feel down quite a lot, actually, because there's so many problems around us. You know, we just look at the news every day, in our personal lives. It's been tough, in the pandemic, but even before, there's so much struggle. So I struggle myself. I struggle a lot myself, actually. I've been through an episode of depression myself. And so I think I have to constantly push towards hope and beauty, because I think that's the only way we can carry on and we can hopefully make the world a better place for others, for our children. And so I think is this duality that I myself try to come to terms too, and maybe that's also that comes through in my writing. So, for example, in my latest novel, the elements play a very key role. So fire, water, earth, air, and spirit. And I put that in because, you know, the elements, they like fire, right? It gives us light, warmth, but it burns as well. And so there's scarring, but it's also beautiful. It's courage and it's life. And the same for water, right? It purifies, it regenerates, but it can destroy as well. Yeah. And so it's the same with us people, human beings. I think there's this duality in life. You know, we are capable of great evil, great selfishness. I am as well, you know, I think all of us are. But we are also capable of great acts of courage, great beauty, great love.
You portrayed that, you articulated that so beautifully in your latest novel, All Our Brave and Earthly Scars. And I loved how you brought in the different themes all throughout. But I wanted to mention to Ben, what Danielle was saying, it reminded me of what you had gone through when it was something external that had caused an episode of depression in your life. Did you want to speak to that?
Myself or Danielle?
Yeah.
I mean, thanks, Sylvia, for bringing that in. I think I've mentioned this on the show a few times to everyone that I've experienced depression twice in my life and don't have to say too much more today because everything that Danielle said, I went through. And it's not easy to have those conversations, especially in this part of the world where, let's be honest, sympathy is tough and everything is about tough love. So, well done to Danielle for explaining that so well. But Danielle, I just want to elaborate on that point and thanks, Sylvia, for bringing it in. How does one, especially in our culture, which is very traditional, how do you, as an author, as a person, as a mother, as an academic, as a professional, as a human being, teach someone sympathy? Because in mental health, sympathy is the first step.
Yeah, I think, people ask me if I can teach people to write. And I find it very difficult because
true.
I can't teach people how to experience life. I can't teach people how to have empathy, which is, you know, also what you're asking me, right? Sympathy, have empathy. It's, we can't teach it. And I
think can we nurture it?
I think we can nurture it. Of course, we start with our families, ourselves. For me, my hope, of course, is that through my writing, you know, when we are able to step into someone else's shoes, I think that's basically what sympathy and empathy are, you know, being able to step into someone else's shoes and to try to understand what it's like for that person. And that's what happens when we read stories, we watch shows, movies, we for that time enter into someone else's life, hopefully try to feel what the other person feels. And I grew up with stories, so stories I think play a very key role. And we have a problem because you know, people have short attention spans. They don't like reading so much. But I think stories in whatever form, you know, now it's through social media, I think movies will never die, right?
Hope not.
Yeah, that's one way. But I guess it also, like what Ben, you were saying, you know, we have to nurture it from young, I guess. And we can only start with ourselves and our families and hopefully reach out to more people because and then you nip it in the bud because a lot of these problems, I think they they are they stem from childhood.
Great. Thanks for sharing that. I have no more further questions. Sylvia?
Danielle, so before I ask about your latest novel, if someone would ask you, or I'm asking you, who is Danielle Lim? And how would you describe yourself in three words? I mean, you're brilliant. You're an Oxford graduate. And you won the top author award in 2016. And I believe even a few years ago or last year. So who is the person behind the author? So if we could just dig a little bit deeper. And you love music, but anything else besides that you love music and beauty?
I think if it's in three words, I would just say an ordinary person. That's how I see myself. You know, I'm like all of us. You know, I'm a daughter. I'm a wife. I'm a mother. And we try our best to do what we can in these roles. I see beauty in very ordinary things. You know, I was just taking a walk. I take a lot of walks and. Just seeing the children, just seeing family cycling together, it makes my day.
Aww.
Do you see beauty in chicken rice?
Ben does.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
it's a Malaysian Singaporean thing about the rights and ownership of chicken rice. So that's a Causeway joke. That one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we are good. Yeah, it's wonderful that our borders, the causeway, you know, for the first time, it was like empty for 2 years.
Oh, yes.
Wow. Yeah, and now, it, of course, it's the opposite. Jams.
Yeah. So Danielle, our last question is, share a little bit about your latest novel and what was the message that you wanted to get across through this story of this couple who had met, you know, as childhood friends, and the you know, intricate weaving of their story, you know, wow, it really, I mean, I don't want to give too much away. That's why I'm stumbling with my words right now. Spoiler alert. But what was like the main message that you wanted to get out into the world as you birthed this book, baby? And anything, and your last words about, you know, just your life as an author, if you have any parting words to, you know, budding writers who want to write a novel like you have.
Yeah, thank you, Sylvia. I think this book, you know, so the title, All Our Brave Earthly Scars, I kind of thought a long time about it. And so, okay, in one line, it's a tale of love, right, set against two historical events in Southeast Asia, the 2002 Bali bombing, which was Indonesia's worst terror attack in history, and Singapore's largest fire back in 1961. And so it's a love story that weaves through the historical events. And I think what I wanted to explore in this novel really various things, which I've touched on, right, like life's duality, human struggle, human courage, relationships. So I think we all know it's relationships are difficult. They are beautiful, but they are difficult. And people underestimate how much hard work it takes, right? I think we are
100%.
All married. We know how difficult it is. So I think so. That's something I wanted to bring out in the novel, that, you know, that beauty comes out through the hard work, through time, and And the personal and the universal are very interconnected. There's kind of unity in all of life. And also, I think, you know, one key theme that is in my writing is, I summarize it in this way, what is and what can be. So we are all living in a what is, right? Whether it's mental health, in a pandemic, you know, all the tensions in our own lives. And I try to push towards what can be, and, you know, whether it's better relationships in our families, better marriages, whether it's in terms of mental health, can we be more open about it? Can we try to look at the issues more honestly and more openly? You know, don't say what's just the correct thing to say, but really, you know, get to the heart of it to understand and see what we can really do about things. Mm-hmm. And so my parting shot, I think, to people, whether it's budding writers or anyone listening, in terms of writing, I think we have to believe in something strongly enough to write a book. There's no magic formula, I feel. And I think my message in all my books to everyone, and it's a message I have to remind myself all the time, is that we have it in us, I think, to build a better world, to build a better version of ourselves. And I think that's where it starts. If we can build a better version of ourselves, I think the world will be a much better place. And so in the words of John Denver, I just was listening to his song. So it is here we must begin.
I love it. Thank you so much, Danielle. Those were inspiring words. I love the phrase, what is and what can be. Thank you again. And you're welcome to come back. And always says, once a guest, you're always part of the Great People TV family. And when you have your next book out, please call us and we'll have you back on again. It was a great pleasure hearing your thoughts on writing, your books, your latest novel, All Our Earthly Scars. And so thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Danielle. And the word that strikes out to me for this interview is one very good word. Better. So thank you for making us better today, and we'll always be better tomorrow. And that's what Great People TV is all about. Thank you very much, Danielle. You're the best.
Thank you.
That was inspiring.
That was. Thanks for leading that. And thanks for obtaining that guest so much.
No,
thank you so
thank
much.
You.
So,
yeah. Thank you, Ben, for being the best co-host. And I'm very uplifted. The cool. thought of, you know, being better and leaving this world a better place. That's the most noble goal that we could ever have.
Absolutely, 100%. So everyone, thanks for joining us and thanks for asking some questions and clicking like as well. Please don't forget to click like and follow on all our social media platforms, which is LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And on behalf of Sylvia Yu, myself, Ben Ibrahim, and everybody here at Great People TV, thanks for watching, and we'll catch you next week on the next episode of Great People TV. Have a great week and stay safe. Bye.